associating it with a name in Massachusetts, but was able to lead her to the Lord after the services on Sunday. So we thank the Lord for that. Amen. And pray for these two that we're praying for. They're having great weeks. His name is Dustin. Her name is Stephanie. And having an absolutely wonderful week. And we praise the Lord for that. And just thank the Lord for that. And so continue to pray. Hebrews chapter number 10. I want to take a few weeks on this subject matter of prayer. And I found this out many times as we're preparing to spend time in prayer. There's an, for lack of a better term to describe it, there's an uncertainty of some people to be able to pray. There's an embarrassment because maybe they don't know how to pray, and that's all perfectly okay. But I think we ought to take the time and look at the scriptures and maybe educate ourselves a little bit about this matter of prayer, okay? And I think it'll take maybe for some, as they're just learning to pray and how to pray, understanding that we're not talking to each other, that we're talking to God, makes a difference in our hearts and lives, okay? And I want you to see this because so many times we use these verses in an application for prayer, and I certainly believe that they can be applied there, but I believe it goes deeper, and you'll see this here in just a few moments. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 19. Because of our forgiveness of sins, because of our remission, because of verse number 17, where the Lord is going to remember them no more, because of the sacrifice that this one man made, this one sacrifice, and is now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, because of all of that, we come to verse number 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, as I read down through these verses, there are several times, and I myself have quoted this verse, that we say, well, we can pray, we have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ. Can I say I believe that there's more of an application in principle here than just dealing with our prayer life? And I want to read a statement that, and it's not written in a book somewhere. It's not Noah Webster's dictionary. It's not anything. As I looked at this passage of scripture, and God was speaking to my heart about this subject matter of prayer, because I never want our church to just gather together on a Thursday night. And I'm thankful for everyone that's here. We've got a great crowd out for Thursday night midweek service and prayer meeting. Praise the Lord for that. I don't ever want it to get, and I've made this statement before, just to a routine. And so as God was burdening my heart again afresh and anew for this matter of prayer, I wrote this down based upon this passage of scripture. Here's what God spoke to my heart about on what is prayer. And then we're going to come back and look at it. Prayer, this is what God said in my heart, is a conversation based upon relationship, created by sacrifice, entered into with confidence, and hindered by iniquity. Now, that's what God's speaking to my heart about this matter of prayer. Prayer is a conversation based upon a relationship created or instituted by sacrifice, entered into with confidence, but hindered by iniquity. Now, let's go back and look at that as God was speaking to my heart through this. Prayer being a conversation. You say, what do you mean a conversation? Everybody says that prayer is us speaking to God, and reading the Bible is God speaking to us. And we say that that's two sides of the conversation. Now, I've been reminded of this. There's times that you enter into prayer and a conversation is taking place, and guess what? The Bible's not even opened. You say, well, how is it a conversation? Because the conversation is two-sided. Would y'all agree with me? How many husbands and wives have ever looked at each other and said, hey, we're having a conversation? Well, no, not really, because we're not both talking. A conversation is both sides being able to communicate one with another. You say, well, that's us talking to God and God talking to us through His Word. But you see, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. And when I'm saying that prayer is a conversation that is taking place, it is because we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And I believe sometimes that as we're praying, if we would just take the time to shut our mouths sometimes and allow the Holy Spirit of God to speak to our hearts while we're in the conversation of prayer, that we spend time talking to God. Now, you tell me how this conversation would work if I just looked at Crystal every day and I just one-sided told her everything that was needed, everything that I wanted, and don't say another thing to me, just to get that taken care of. Wouldn't that work out well? I have learned something. Brother Terry Ellison, he'd tell you this story if he was here. He said, I learned quickly, and he said, even though this was several years into our marriage, he said, I was having one of those busy days. He said, you ever have one of those busy days? He said, that just even 30 seconds or a minute. And he said, my wife came up to me and said, Terry, I need to talk to you. And he said, I made the drastic mistake of looking at my watch and saying, okay, you've got 1 minute, go. He said, I have never done that again in my life. Now, a conversation is two-sided, that we are indwelt by the Spirit of God. So as we enter into prayer, understand that it's not just about us speaking to Him, but it is about the Holy Spirit of God speaking to us, even as we're in prayer. I believe that's what David was speaking of when he was saying, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. Guess how he was going to find out if anything was there? He was going to have to close his mouth, not get up and run away from his prayer time, but close his mouth and allow the Holy Spirit of God to be able to speak to him. Now listen, I'm not talking in some mystical way. I'm not talking about we're hearing all kinds of voices. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit of God that we're indwelt by speaking to us while we're praying. Now it is a conversation that is based upon relationship. Now, I love how I believe the Apostle Paul starts this out in verse number 19. He's talking about having, therefore, brethren. It is talking to those that are saved, okay, that we have this access to be able to go before the Lord Jesus Christ. We're able to enter into, now notice that it says here, it says that we are entering into the holiest by the blood of Christ. Now that's an Old Testament illustration that's being given that's comparing it to the Holy of Holies. Now let me remind us here why I believe that it's something a whole lot deeper than just talking about a superficial prayer life, is because the throne of God is not in the Holy of Holies up in heaven. It's not there. Now there is that tabernacle that's made without hands. There's that tabernacle that the earthly tabernacle was formed was formed after the pattern that's up there in heaven. But we have the access to be able to go in. And may I remind us that entering into that holy place, that holiest, that was more of a relationship that was taking place between the high priest being able to walk in there and to be able to meet in the very presence of God once a year on that Day of Atonement. So when we look at our prayer life, maybe not just a prayer time, but when we look at our prayer life, understanding that it is a conversation that is based upon a relationship. And the relationship that we have, listen, we are praying to God the Father. We are praying in the name and by access from the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to see this when I say that it was created or established or instituted by sacrifice. We have that conversation based upon the relationship that was started because of the sacrifice. And we have access because of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why when and we teach the kids this, we close out our prayers in Jesus' name. We're accessing the Heavenly Father, the relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father through the sacrifice. And that's what the Bible says here, where I have boldness to enter, verse number 19. And how are we entering, verse number 20? By a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And so the Lord, through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have this access to be able to go directly to our Father. Now you think about that relationship that we have, that conversation. It's not just a matter of walking up there. And I've tried as simple as I can to be able to explain our relationship with the Father when we walk inside a prison, walk inside a jail. And I said, listen, when my dad was alive, if there was ever a time that I needed to talk to him, I said, I never once called my dad with 8 different bullet points. And just went ahead and as soon as he said hello, I went ahead and read off those 8 different bullet points. And as soon as I got done, I said, okay, thank you, and hung up the phone. I never once had a phone conversation like that with my dad. With my father. And sure enough, if I ever would have had a conversation like that, I surely wouldn't have called back the next day. And when he answered, just read off the exact same 8 bullet points again and get done and hang up the phone. Never once. But I'm thinking, how many times we don't understand that this conversation that God is desiring to have with us, based upon this relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that He made for each and every one of us, it's God saying, I just want to be able to talk to you for a while. Would you just spend some time with me? Now, when we start talking relationships, every wife would answer this. Every husband would answer this. The number one thing that we can do for each other, just be able to spend some time. What do parents want from their children? I know, obedience. I understand. What do children want from their parents? I want to be able to spend some time. I had a man tell me one time, he said, you know, he said, when God allowed me to start making money, he's retired and everything. He said, when God allowed me to start making money, he said, I had every toy whatsoever that I could think of. He said, I had the jet boats. He said, I had the jet skis. He said, I had the motorhome. And he said, I had all of that. He said, just in hopes that my kids would see that and just come over and use them so that they would be around. And I called him by name and I said, can I say this? They didn't want the jet ski. I said, they wanted the time with you. And he said, I realized that after I was getting older. He said, all them little things like that, he said, didn't make a difference. Just wanted a relationship. Prayer, a conversation based upon a relationship that was created by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ that we can enter into with confidence. It's interesting that, and I've seen this several places, I think about what takes place down at the White House. You ever thought about this? Whichever man is occupying, whichever family is occupying the West Wing and where they're living. Now, I would consider it a great honor to be able to go, if no matter which president it was, and say, hey, would you come over to my personal quarters and we can sit down in my living room and be able to have a conversation. Wouldn't that be something? Now, I've thought about this. I don't have the right just to go running in there. Imagine if I tried that tomorrow and said, hey, I'm just going to show up and I'm just, hey, this is where President Trump lives. I mean, I'm not even talking about the Oval Office. I've got every right, just like everybody else. I'm just going to walk back into their living room and just sit down and make myself to home. You'd say you don't have a right to do that. But you know something? I think about the children of the person who lives there. That's their home. That, you know something? They got their toys, and I'm sure their toys are laying around. I'm sure that unless someone comes and picks them up, which they probably have 400 assistants or something, their socks are laying on the floor. I thought, there's a regular kid's bedroom back there that will get up if he's having a bad dream and just go walk into his dad's bedroom and say, Dad, I need you. You know why he has access to that and I don't? Because of relationship. And I thought, we serve God Almighty, and He is our Heavenly Father. And it's no wonder that they're writing here saying, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in. We get to walk in there, crawl in there, whenever we desire to. You know why? Because that's our Father. And we have 100%, 24-hour a day access to be able to go right into the very throne room of God Almighty, because we have the ability, we have the confidence, because this relationship that the Lord Jesus Christ has established for us. Can I say, I've been viewing my conversation with the Lord a little bit differently. When we're having a conversation based on relationship that's been established by sacrifice that we can enter into confidently, but yet it can be hindered by iniquity. That's why I believe he said in verse number 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Now, here's why I believe it's more than just talking in prayer. Because of this access we have, he talks about in verse number 22, let us draw near. He didn't say let's talk near. In other words, positionally, we ought to be drawing closer to the Lord because of the access that we have to Him. Now, when was the last time we said, okay, let's pray, and automatically we started thinking, I'm having a conversation with God based upon my relationship with Him. Now, if there's sin in our lives, boy, we have to get rid of that, because it can be hindering. And God wants to hear the prayer of repentance for sin, for the relationship to be restored. We know, according to Proverbs, that the Lord, that with prayers He will not hear us if we harbor iniquity in our hearts. That's known sin that we're holding on to. Now, David was praying, God, search me. God was hearing his prayer, even though he wasn't perfect, but he was still asking the Lord, would you search me out? And whatever sin there is there, would you reveal it to me so that I can get rid of it? I can confess it and forsake it. I thought, Lord, if you'd help each and every one of us on this matter of prayer to understand that it is a conversation, that means God's trying to speak to us. You ever kind of paused in the middle of your prayer and then someone else came to your mind and you just prayed for them? Guess who reminded you of them? Holy Spirit of God. You say, boy, how wonderful is that? You mean God the Holy Spirit will actually speak to me while I'm praying if we give him an opportunity? We just got to give him the chance. And some people go their entire life and they're like, man, I've never had that in my prayer life. It's not because anybody's any special. It's just because they close their mouth long enough for God to. How many of you ever said to your kids when they're going on and on, say, listen, if you just close your mouth long enough, I can answer you. Did you ever say that to your wife? Never mind, don't answer that. We don't say stuff like that. I wonder if God's saying, you know, I'd sure love to be part of this conversation if you just listen to me. And I think the Lord may be speaking to hearts a little bit more through our prayer time. And then you see what happens as God starts speaking to us, as we start speaking to Him, and that conversation's going back and forth. And before you know it, you might talk the hour away. You say, oh, I don't know about that. It's amazing. God will say a whole lot more when we're quiet. Now, I still believe in reading the Scriptures. I still believe that's God speaking to us. I still understand that. And as we read the Scriptures, God will bring some back to our heart and mind, and we'll understand. Listen, this passage here in Hebrews chapter 10, I appreciate a great prayer life. It's wonderful. But there's so much more about us drawing near to Him and not just bowing our head going right into prayer. Drawing near to Him. That relationship. It's helped me. A conversation based upon our relationship that's been created by sacrifice from the Lord Jesus Christ. We enter into it in confidence, but realizing it can be hindered by iniquity. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Thank You so much for the opportunity to be able to draw close to You. And Lord, I pray that through our prayer life, Lord, on a daily basis, Lord, I pray that it would be a two-sided conversation. I pray that we'd be quiet enough, sensitive enough to be able to hear from heaven. And Lord, would get used to hearing that still small voice. Lord, I pray that we'd be thankful for the relationship that we have with You through the blood of Christ, Lord, through His flesh that was rent and torn for us. And Lord, I pray that we'd be free from iniquity and sin in our lives, that it would not hinder. We could draw near with a true heart. Lord, I guess I'm just praying that our prayer life would be so sweet with You that we'd cherish it throughout the day and spend time with You. Thank You for Your love to us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.